love Unofficial Mills.
This is a download from unofficialmills.co.uk.
What's happening, Chris?
I've just noticed that everyone's releasing autobiographies at the moment.
Yeah, it's that time of year, isn't it?
It's my favourite time of year.
I know, you love them, don't you?
I do, yeah. I read them so quickly. Ones that I've still got to read. Well, I've read Alan Sugar's one.
Yeah. But that's the one with the tiny fork tip.
Yeah, that's not an autobiography, but it's, you know, he's released a book for Christmas. James Corden's got one.
Has he?
Yeah. There's an Alan Partridge one.
Yeah, Rob Brydon. Everyone's doing it. I'm reading Brendan from Coach Trip at the moment.
What's that called?
Oh, I can't remember. That's going to bug me now.
My Life on the Road.
Something like that.
And you read that guy from Trawler Men?
Yeah, I read the Trawler... Yeah, that was good as well.
Did you actually buy the Brendan from Coach Trip autobiography?
I did, yes. £15.
What?
And do you know what? The only other
£15?
The only other autobiography I've read ever is Les Dennis. So I haven't got much to compare it to. And that's only because you gave it to me.
Is that... I didn't, did I?
You did.
Oh.
Mm. Didn't you and Laura used to give each other weird, random autobiographies?
Yeah, we did. I was a fan of the Sharon Osbourne, the first one.
Mm.
Also, I gave Laura Anthea Turner's one once, yeah. So, yeah.
Have you read Lorraine's?
All the greats. I haven't read Lorraine's, actually.
No, I quite like
quite
to
good.
Read that, yeah.
Well, it's got me thinking that just everyone's releasing an autobiography.
Yeah.
Perhaps I should.
Oh, God. Well, why not? I mean, to be honest, if Brendan off Coach Trip's got one...
But I've got
a
point.
He's a lot older.
Yeah, what have you actually done?
All right, but then JLS, Justin Bieber, they've all got autobiographies out. One Direction, haven't? I'm sure they had a book coming out at one point.
I can tell you, they have three books coming out.
Right, well, I've got more life experience than them.
That's probably true. So, have you been trying this?
So, today, I started writing my autobiography.
Oh, I can't wait. What's it called?
24 Years at the Tap End.
Of course. As we suggested the other day.
Are we going to get a credit for that?
Yes, I've been working on a paragraph all about you, Becky.
Tell us why it's called 24 Years at the Tap End, just to remind us.
24 Years at the Tap End, it's because last week I was having a bath and I suddenly realised that my whole life I've been lying tap end, my head against the taps. And it's much comfier to do it the other way round.
But you only just realised this when we pointed it out.
So 24 Years at the Tap End, that's the name of my autobiography and I've started writing it.
Oh, OK. Can we hear some of this or...?
If you like.
Yeah. Hang on, let me just find some music. Do you want kind of quite nice kind of mood music, yeah?
Shall I just do excerpt? How do you say it?
Excerpts.
Excerpts. That's a weird word,
go on.
Isn't it?
I don't think you pronounce the P, do you?
No. Excerpts.
Shall I read you excerpts?
I'd like that very much. I found some music for you now.
I prefer an excerpt.
For the first time ever, here is an exclusive reading of Chris Stark's autobiography, 24 Years at the Tap End. Here it is.
My first 8 years at the Tap End. I don't really remember the first 4 years at the Tap End. My life at that point was largely uneventful. Born in London suburbia, first child of a teacher and a loss adjuster. I, Christopher Francis Alfred Jefferson Stark, entered the world to the surroundings of Northwick Park Hospital on March the 12th.
Hang on a second. They aren't all your names.
No, they're not.
No. I've seen your passport.
But I thought it added gravitas and made it more dramatic.
Right, you are Francis, that's in the middle.
Yeah.
But all the rest made up.
No, but no one would have known that if they were reading it.
Okay.
It adds drama.
Sorry, carry on.
I was meant to be called Porrick, but for one reason or another...
What?!
That's what my parents... You can't keep interrupting this.
Well, no, you can't just say I was meant to be called Porrick and then just shrug it off.
My parents have always said that I was originally down to be Porrick and then a last-minute change of mind. Thank
God.
Well,
is that a character from a film?
Porrick Stark? I don't know. Why were they going to call you Porrick? Where is that from?
I don't know. It's just something that they've said. This is my autobiography. You're going to learn a lot about me here.
I was going to be, if I was a girl, Tracy.
You would make a Tracy. I can see that.
Thank you.
I was meant
I'll take that as a compliment. Carry on.
These were the years of my life where the bath was bigger than me. First few years of my life were a right laugh, but it was also an education. I learned how to speak English, developed an early fascination with birds and planes, and met my first love, football. I largely modelled myself on the Red Power Ranger and would morph regularly, unannounced. I also in this time believed that I was a Ghostbuster, wearing full uniform and proton pack. I ran the school playground under these two guises. But the life of a Power Ranging Ghostbuster wasn't always easy. My earliest heartbreak came the day I missed out on a Cub Scout trip to Legoland because of chickenpox. I, to this day, look forward to the day I can pass my Legoland driving licence. So that's just like a short... That's
really nice.
First
quite touching,
chapter,
yeah.
My first 8 years at the Tap End.
Is there anything...
8 years, just that bit?
Well, a part of... Yeah, a part... I can't read the whole book now, can I?
Oh, there is more in the first 8 years.
There'll be more, yeah. There'll
oh,
be
right,
more.
I was
going to
say, if
this.
It goes that quick, it's going to be less than a chapter.
Okay, well, read on. What have we got now?
My 15th year at the Tap End.
Okay.
My 15th year at the Tap End. I call these years the baseball cap years. Why, you ask?
Why?
Because I always wore a baseball cap. That's as far as I've got with that one.
Oh.
Is that it?
Yeah. If you skip now to the 19th year at the Tap End.
Okay.
The 19th year at the Tap End.
Thank you. My 19th year at the Tap End.
I just said that.
All right. So I didn't get the right grades to go to Leeds Uni, but managed to blag a place at Southampton. It was a great result. I call these years the in-betweeners years. Still at the Tap End, me and the boys set off for Malia for our first lads' holiday.
Oh, this is going to be good.
It was the morning of our departure. The lads were in a taxi on the way to mine. I pulled on my shirt, the England flag on the sleeve, the nickname on the back. On the front, proudly displayed, the lads 2005.
And what was the nickname on the back of your shirt?
It was just Starkey. It was nothing creative.
Oh.
Bit of a boring one.
Mm.
Choi Boy's older brother had told us amazing stories.
Choi Boy
is my mate.
Choi Boy's
older brother had told us amazing stories.
Who's Choi Boy?
You can't just, like, throw in a character. You've got to give a bit of build-up.
Choi Boy is Chinese Dave. My mate Chinese Dave. We also call him Choi Boy.
Why?
Well, he's called Dave Choi.
Oh, is he Chinese?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
cool.
Malaysian.
Okay. Okay.
Carry on.
Okay.
Yes?
Sorry. Choi Boy's older brother had told us amazing stories about there being 10 girls to every guy, and that everything a guy would want and need was on this island of desires. The horn of a taxi blared. I was out the door and on a plane from Gatwick Airport to Malia. Our coach pulled up to our hotel. We dumped bags and gathered in the lobby. 5 minutes later, we were walking down the main road towards Malia town centre.
Wow.
Suddenly, in the distance, a load of lights. The soft, dull thud of music could be heard, increasing in volume as we got closer. My heart skipped a beat. We were near. This was it. No words were needed.
Are you approaching the strip in Malia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we rounded the corner, there it was. The lads had arrived. We stood there, looking left to right. It was exactly as Choi Boy's brother had described.
Are you outside Lineker's?
No, we're just at the entrance, you know, right down by the kebab shop.
Yeah, I know you mean.
Girls started walking towards us, grabbing us and pulling us into the clubs. They loved our shirts. We obliged. It was exactly as others before us had said it would be like. They ushered us into the bar, took our money and then swiftly turned around and left us. It was a valuable lesson.
That does happen.
Don't listen to Choi Boy's brother.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi there.
You in Bristol?
That's right, yeah.
What are you saying about the book?
Oh, it sounds fantastic. I really want to get a copy.
Yeah, well, yeah, plans are in place.
Excellent. Can I get it signed as well?
Yeah. You want a signed autobiography? I'm sure that will not be a problem.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, you can hear a bit more in a minute, all right.
Okay, brilliant. I look forward to it.
Love you, bye.
Love you too, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Chris has decided here that he's going to do an autobiography, why not? Now, if you are enjoying this, when's the book out, Chris?
Well, whenever some publisher hears it and hopefully commissions it. And
yeah, I'm sure the emails will flood in. Is there anything about us in it?
Well, it is my autobiography, so I think it's only right that I do talk about you two in it.
I don't know about you, but, like, whenever I'm in an autobiography of my friends, I do want to be know what they're saying about me, do you know what I mean?
No, I don't think any of my friends have ever written an autobiography, but that's how it is for you. What I like is that you don't read them, you don't read them. Like, you made me read Joe Wiley's one for you and then post it the pages where you were referenced.
Don't say that!
Why?
Because she thinks I've read it.
Yeah, well, you've read the bits about you.
You idiot.
Obviously, it's
I thought it was a brilliant book, but you've read only 2 pages.
Brilliant. Well, that's really helped me, hasn't it, today? Thanks.
My autobiography isn't complete just yet. There's obviously lots of stories with me and you, Scott, from Nights Out and things like that.
Okay, I need to proofread this first, I think.
If I skip to the 22nd year of my time at the Tap End, I've written a bit about Becky, though.
Sure thing.
My 22nd year at the Tap End... The first time I met Becky was on a night out with Scott. She was working on another show, but desperate to impress.
Hey? Impress who?
Hang on. I bought her a drink and a shot. I was a gentleman, but she politely refused.
You're doing shots?
I found this quirky.
I think there may be an element of, what's the word? Where you make stuff up just to make it sound good.
Artistic license.
Yeah.
Becky doesn't do shots. She's not that kind of girl.
She refuses him.
Yeah.
Conversation was forced and insincere. She seemed nervous around me, so I did the best I could to put her at ease. I offered her another shot. The second most prominent thing that struck me about Becky was the size of her heart. She had a massive heart and reasonably sized boobs. She was a complicated character. That's as far as I've got.
Yeah. If only you'd had those couple of Jager bombs, things might have been different.
I don't remember that night at all.
No, it's because of the shots.
Are you sure you didn't make that up to get to spark interest?
Well, if anyone is interested in hearing more about this book, I need a publisher. I'm well up for writing some more chapters if people want to hear it.
Unofficial Mills.